Seattle was one of the cities that pioneered a strategy to fight homelessness called Housing First. That meant getting people into housing before they were sober or before their mental illness had stabilized. The most famous example was Housing for Chronic Inebriates that opened in 2005 on Eastlake. It was controversial at the time, but Housing First is now a broadly accepted strategy. Washington State has built lots of housing on that model, but not enough to keep up with demand. Rob Gilroy had a wife, kids, and a good job as a garbage collector. Then a divorce kicked his butt.
I was grieving, and so I unfortunately turned to drugs. The bottom line when it comes to drugs is, you're going to end up with nothing.
Days added up to weeks, which added up to years. Gilroy became what you'd call chronically homeless.
Getting housing seems so out of reach because you'll hear these stories of people saying, oh my gosh, I've been on the waiting list for 8 years, and I still haven't got my housing. And so it seems so far away.
Gilroy says the shelters he stayed in never tried to convince him otherwise, but then he came to the Blaine Center, a homeless shelter near the Space Needle. They follow a housing first model. That means they try to get you out of the shelter and into permanent housing first, before you've resolved your addiction issues or mental illness issues or whatever. The idea is that once people get into housing, they're more receptive to treatment. Gilroy's case manager at the shelter was Juanita Unger. She says Housing First works, but there aren't enough places to put people. How often do you fail to find a place to put somebody?
Often.
So it was a big deal when Unger found Gilroy an apartment in a special building for people like him in the Inner Bay neighborhood. Still, when Unger told Gilroy about the apartment, he balked.
He was pretty apprehensive.
Unger told him, you need to take this apartment. There are probably 100 people waiting for your shelter bed, people who need a little bit of help so they can bounce back. Unger told Gilroy, you may not stay in our shelter forever.
That's a hard conversation to have with people, and he did not like it either. He was pretty angry at me. There's kind of a risk. Could this push him over the edge where he doesn't accept the housing and he goes into a loop of whatever, depression or addiction or whatever.
Gilroy took the tiny studio apartment. 6 months later, he's still getting used to it. Security here is tight. Not just anyone can drop in and visit him. And then there's the constant reminders of addiction. When the guy down the hall is coming down from a high, he yells a lot. Gilroy is trying to make it feel like home. He's really proud of a beautiful white couch where he sleeps.
I just got this furniture for $50 from some guy. It was a really good deal. I used to have a bed, but I'd rather have it set like a living room. It's more comfortable for me.
He's using a lot less meth than he used to. He says someday he hopes to kick it altogether. Get a job driving a garbage truck or a metro bus. He's got a caseworker from the Downtown Emergency Service Center to help him out. And you could say he started on a new leg of his journey.
That's what this building and DESC has kind of helped me do is get my independence back, get my self-worth back.
So what lies at the end of that journey? Sandra Andrews of Federal Way can tell you. She's enjoying a celebratory meal with a couple of social workers. She got to choose the restaurant. She chose Denny's. She's about to dig into her favorite meal.
Oh, biscuits and gravy are my favorites. Every time I go to a restaurant, I like biscuits and gravy.
And also some strawberry pancakes. Andrews is graduating from a housing program kind of like the one Rob Gilroy just got into. Her apartment will be signed over to her name. She'll be independent.
You could come back too and do a talk to people that are interested in graduating but afraid.
Long ago, Andrews was living in a boat in her brother's backyard, hooked on heroin, struggling with mental illness, and making money as a prostitute. She ended up at Western State Hospital and then got into low-barrier housing through a nonprofit called Navos. That helped her transition to a life where she can take care of herself. She's clean and sober now. She's been applying for jobs recently. No bites yet, but she's hopeful, and her peers are noticing her success.
Makes me feel really good. I've never, been a role model before in my life, but I've changed a lot
This is how Housing First works.
It's an incredibly successful intervention as far as the stability it provides.
That's Laura Michoud from New York. She runs the Supportive Housing Network of New York. That's a group that includes 200 nonprofit housing and service providers. Her state has built more low-barrier apartments per capita than any other state. It began in the mid-1990s. Since then, New York has cut its population of chronically homeless single adults by half. In other words, it's been a long slog. But Michoud says it's worth it because it saves taxpayers money.
You know, someone who's homeless is cycling in and out of shelter, emergency rooms, prisons, state psych beds, and those systems are incredibly expensive.
New York State has built over 28,000 low-barrier apartments for single adults. Washington State has built around 7,000. That's more than a lot of states, but it might not be enough. And as rents continue to rise, it's possible the number of people pushed into homelessness could outstrip whatever additional housing supply we manage to build. But like Rob Gilroy and Sandra Andrews, we've got to start somewhere. In Seattle, I'm Joshua McNichols, KUOW News.